right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. So we're talking about, you know, a situation that made news all over the world. Milwaukee, once again, made news all over the world as some deranged young guys who, as it turned out, Sandy, these young guys went on Facebook and were talking to one another and said, and letting people know that there's going to be, we're going to be, two gangs are going to be shooting at each other at the Deer District.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I mean, Sandy. I know we talked about freedom of speech and those kinds of things last week. But if they can put that out there, that this is going to take place, isn't there a responsibility for the people who own those outlets to somehow get that information to law enforcement or something? I mean, Facebook has people monitoring all of that stuff. Do they have some culpability in helping to allow that kind of information to be put out over the airwaves?
Well, do we know that if they didn't?
No, we don't.
Yeah, I don't know if they didn't. I mean, I think law enforcement has said that they had reason to believe that such a thing might happen.
Yeah, and there's plenty of law enforcement down there.
Yeah, so maybe they did, in fact, get a lead on it that there was potential violence in store.
And how do you begin to stop that when you've got people, as you stated before, who have given up? I'm telling you, I know young people, 14 years old, who've given up. We've got that in our country, right? We talk about all the other parts of the world that we go and try to reach out to and save those people. But inside of our own country, you know, there's hopelessness and despair that has taken over entire neighborhoods and communities and the lives of generational lives of people. It's not like we're not aware that it's there. We know it's there, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
But then why do we continue to push back against attempting to help repair that?
Well, when you look at it, if you go back 50 years from now, 50 years from now would be 1972. So let's go back 52 years or so. And if you look at the current data, with the last year was a record, but it was 19,000 gun deaths that were caused not suicide, but were homicides.
Right.
Most of those homicides occurred in the cities.
Right.
Okay, in urban centers. And if we say, let's not go with 19,000, let's just go back to 10,000 a year. And let's say that 10,000 a year has been an average, the kind of carnage rate in the cities of the United States, urban cities. Over 52 years, that's 520,000 gun deaths within the cities. That's more gun deaths than we had in Vietnam, World War II, and the Afghani War all combined.
But we also know that 30 to 40% of those deaths or murders are by people of color on one another. And then when you look at the fact that we only make up 12%, people of color only make up 12% of the population in this country, you realize just how that sticks out when you're looking at those at the percentages. And so my question is always why it's not being addressed. The answer to it, Sandy, is we can't say we're going to address it by more law enforcement, because that's what you keep hearing. You know, the Democrats have been in charge of those cities, and because they are anti law enforcement, which is what you hear from the right on all of these conversations, we just need more law enforcement there, as if that somehow is going to be the elixir that is needed. And I'm saying that's not the answer. Okay, it is foolhardy to believe that you're going to be able to put enough law enforcement in positions to stop what we're talking about that is occurring.
Well, you look at the law and order that was the Richard Nixon, his mantra. You look at the 1990s. You had mandatory sentencing and more law enforcement. Then
truth, three strikes, you're out. Yeah, truth and sentencing.
Yeah, and so you know,
parole.
I think some smart guy said the definition of craziness is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you'll get a different result. Well, that's what we've been doing with this whole problem, and I think it has to do with the fact that it's, in many respects, it's been an aquarium that people watch. Okay, and so the political process, it doesn't care about it enough to do anything more than say, just bottle it up. Let's put more cops in charge of this and make sure that it doesn't bleed out into the rest of the world. And it's kind of the same thing, I think, that has happened with drugs. You know, when crack was an inner city phenomena, it wasn't much to be worried about other than to make sure that people who were convicted of crack crimes went to jail longer than people who were convicted of cocaine crimes. And yet when drugs bled out into the non-urban centers and we began to have methamphetamine problems all around the country, we began to have opiate problems all around the country, we suddenly get a much different focus of attention on it, and a focus of attention that related to it as a medical problem, that related to it in all the diverse diverse aspects of the problem, above and beyond simple law enforcement, which was going to be a problem, which was going to be a way to deal with it, that which would come home to roost with an awful lot of families. And so, you know, part of this, I think, relates to a racial problem, and I suspect we'll jump to the racial problem when we start talking about the Buffalo killings, which are a different sort of homicidal process that goes on with guns that gets a different sort of attention, but is driven in some respects by the mirror image of the problem that's going on in the cities.
So let's look at the fact that a friend of mine who has been around the city just like I have our entire lives, he's held many positions of leadership in our community, has talked about a curfew. He went back to the time of the 60s when we had the riots. He and I go back that far, but he talked with the mayor and said, listen, this is how we need to, because of the sheer numbers of people who are being slaughtered in the city of Milwaukee, people of color, that we need a curfew. In the 60s, they put a curfew up during the riots to prevent people from moving around and causing mayhem. And it certainly, I remember the curfews when blocks from where I lived, 3rd Street at the time, was set ablaze, as many cities across the nation were set ablaze because of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. Curfews came in, and they served their purpose. They controlled the people out on the streets. And even though people will say, Sandy, that, you know, when you do that, you punish the innocent people. But when you're at a point where there's no control, you know, you've got to do those things. And to the credit of Mayor Cavalier Johnson and my good friend Tyrone Dumas, who I'm going to have join me on the air this week, he is going to be cast out by many in our neighborhood and community who don't understand and think that, hey, what you are doing is wrong by punishing other people. But when safety is the bottom line, you've got to do something to protect the people. And law enforcement can't do it alone. So there is there was this weekend a curfew in that district. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Tune into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Can't put it.